This is John Hines, head coach of the Minnesota Wild. Thanks for listening to Wild Hockey on the Radio. The XL Energy postgame show starts now, including my postgame comments. And now from the Bob Kurtz Radio Center, here's Kevin Falmas.
Dean Off will just tip it free, and that's going to do it. The final seconds tick down here at Honda Center. The Minnesota Wild extend their point streak. It's 8 games and counting for the Wild as they inch closer to a possible playoff spot as Philip Gustafson gets his third shutout of the season, the sixth of his career, and the Wild as a team pick up their sixth whitewashing on the campaign. They beat the Ducks here in Anaheim 4-0 the final tonight from Honda Center.
Yeah, they're good. The Wild 6-0-2 in their last 8, and now suddenly just 3 points back of the final playoff spot in the Western Conference. But the bad almost outweighs the good. Jonas Brodin leaves the game hobbled in the third period. Welcome to the postgame show. Kevin Falmas in St. Paul from the Bob Kurtz Radio Center out there at Honda Center. Tom Reed is standing by after a 4-0 shutout victory. So much to celebrate here, Tom, but you got that big dark cloud hanging over us with that number 25 on it.
Yeah, you're right, Kevin. We don't know what the extent of the injury is, but he'll get the medical treatment right away, and it's good having Dr. Boyd here from Korea to be a part of that as well, to do what he can possibly do to get him back in the lineup sooner than later. But some big help tonight by Minnesota. Also, the fact that St. Louis got beat, Vegas got beat, so Minnesota now works up into 76 points on the year, just 3 points behind the Vegas Golden Knights and ahead of the St. Louis Blues. So Minnesota's inching their way up to that number two spot in the wild card.
Tom, who's your catalyst of the game?
Well, you have to go with Gus on this one. He was very good picking up his second shutout against Anaheim this year, his third of the season. And as a result of that, he was very good, very calm and collected in there, never got rattled, and just made the saves when he had to. He got good support from the guys in front of him also. And that's a confidence builder, not only for him, but also for his teammates, having him in that between the pipes. And tomorrow night, we're going to see Marc-Andre Fleury. We know that already. But at the same time, Gus had a very solid game in this one here tonight. And hopefully that will continue in his play tomorrow. He was, or when he plays again, I should say, because he was very good. And you look at the Anaheim Ducks, they had 27 shots, and he stopped all 27.
What did you think of the young guys tonight, Tom? I can think of Beckman had a good game, Lucchini, Hustandinov got his first NHL point. They're stepping up, too.
Yeah, Chisholm also. Here's another guy. Just what, his 17th game now in the NHL this year for Minnesota. And, of course, a guy that they picked up on waivers back in January. It's one of those guys also that I think is really going to help this hockey club in the future. He's got great mobility. He sees the ice well. He doesn't get rattled out there. And he's a guy that you'd like to have back in that point.
Real quick, give me a preview of tomorrow night. You're going to face off against the Kings. They're above you in the standings. Never easy, but I've been looking, Tom, through the last month. They're playing roughly .500 hockey.
Yeah, and they are. I mean, when you look at the Kings, they're still a threat every time they step on the ice. And they're one of those teams now that is in the playoff picture, and they want to stay there. But Minnesota hopefully can make some good things happen and move up the ladder on them. They're getting closer, like I say. Coming in the games tonight, you look at L.A. and Vegas, both with 79 points. Now, that's going to change by you see the end of the night here. But at the same time, Minnesota can enjoy themselves for less than 24 hours as they get ready for the next battle.
Sounds good. Enjoy the bus ride. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Tom Reed in Anaheim. Wild get the 4-0 win over the Anaheim Ducks, and it's a 27-save shutout for Philip Gustafson, who also gets Tom Reed's Catalyst of the Game. The Catalyst of the Game is presented by Catalyst Supply Co., building materials and install support for the modern professional. Joe O'Donnell's making his way down to the locker room. We'll also get you John Hines' post-game comments. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Wild Hockey, presented by XL Energy. Well, how about that? John Hines goes back into his bag of tricks. Not too long ago, pulled the goaltender in overtime, gets the extra point. That was one of his little tricks. Tonight he shuffles the line combinations, especially after that first period. Nothing really happening. Wild did get 9 shots on goal, but it's 0-0 after one period of play. You need something to happen against a hapless Ducks team. Put them to bed early. Well, they finally do it. They shift those line combinations around a little bit. How about Hartman, Foligno, and Boldy scoring the first goal of this hockey game 35 seconds into the second period? Ryan Hartman enjoyed the Toyota shift of the game.
Brodin now left point, rims it around the boards. Interesting here to see Foligno with Boldy and Hartman. As Foligno got to a shot, rebound, they score! Ryan Hartman right in front of the net, bangs home the rebound, and 35 seconds into the second period, the Wild have the game's first goal.
Yeah, Cam Fowler looking up the ice a little bit, and Matt Boldy able to pick his pocket, gets it out to Marcus Foligno. He feeds it over to Ryan Hartman, who finishes it off, opens up the scoring 35 seconds into this hockey game. It would prove to be the eventual game winner. And for Ryan Hartman, not only his 18th goal of the season, it's also the Toyota shift of the game, presented by Toyota, official vehicle of the Minnesota Wild. Wild get the victory, and now are 6-0-2 in their last eight. Again, games in hand, all that other good stuff, that's fine. Wild still 3 points out of the final playoff spot in the Western Conference, trailing the Vegas Golden Knights, and with the victory, leapfrog the St. Louis Blues in the standings. Joe O'Donnell is next. This is Wild Hockey, presented by XL Energy.
Here darting in with an on-man rush. A wrist shot fought off by Gustafson as Killorn had a clean look, and Gustafson a big-time save. Has a step. Dangled out in front. Gustafson the kick save with his left pad. And he's on top of the loose puck as he denies Leo Carlson. Center. He kicked free. Carlson to the right side. Terry a shot. Read well and stopped by Gustafson.
Post-game show continues. The Wild beat the Ducks 4-0. Joe O'Donnell outside the Wild dressing room with one of the stars of the game, Philip Gustafson, his sixth career shutout, third of the season. First off, congrats on the win. How'd you feel back there?
Thank you. It felt really good. The team showed up 0-0 first period, but then we got three pretty quick goals there in the second period, and it felt like we were rolling.
How important was it for you to start this game under control, make those first few saves, and build off that last outing in Colorado? I mean, it had been a couple of weeks since your last start, so was a clean start early important for you?
No, I think I had it as a normal game. Came down the first shot, the normal shot, and I knew the team was there today, and I thought it was a pretty normal day.
What have you liked most about the team's recent plays, an 8-game point streak now after tonight?
No, we really stepped it up. Like I said, I don't know if they had any tips today. We had a really good box set. I saw all the pucks, and then we had a goal on the power plays that made the difference on the special teams today. So really happy with the team.
Chatting with Wild goaltender Philip Gustafson on the post-game show, the Wild shut out the Ducks in Anaheim 4-0, the final. Obviously some concern for Jonas Brodin. Anytime you use a player of his stature, his importance, when a situation like that comes up in-game, how do you guys as a team just try to put it behind you and continue to play?
No, it's a good friend of all of us. You never want to see anyone hurt. I hope he's doing good and has a speedy recovery. But you know, it's all about getting the points this time of year, and if it sucks that someone gets hurt, but you just have to play through it and try and leave it right there.
Tomorrow night in LA, another huge game for your team. Just kind of talk about coming down the stretch, how all these games are so meaningful for your team and the mindset you guys need to be successful.
Yeah, no, we put ourselves in this situation and we're still a few points short of where we want to be, and every point matters now. So we can't have any day where we show up on one leg. We really need to show up every game to give ourselves the best chance to get there.
Thanks again for doing this. Congrats on the victory. Another shutout as the Wild extend their point streak. Good luck tomorrow in LA.
Thank you very much.
That's Wild goaltender Philip Gustafson. Back to you, Kevin.
Joe, before I let you go, what'd you see on the Brodin injury? He went down awkwardly for the listening audience that saw it through your eyes. What'd you see?
Kevin, can you start that question over again?
Just what did you see in the injury to Brodin for the listening audience that listened to it through your eyes?
Yeah, it looked like, kind of rolled up on that right ankle a little bit. So that'll certainly be something the Wild will try and get sorted out quickly, but good news is if there's silver lining, you got two healthy defensemen that are waiting for an opportunity, and it's a second of a back-to-back, so maybe some fresh blood or Brodin can't go will benefit Minnesota.
All right, Joe, travel safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Yep, thanks, Kevin.
Joe O'Donnell, the voice of the Minnesota Wild, talking to Philip Gustafson. Already he's got Tom Reed's catalyst of the game. You know he's going to get the XL Energy big saves of the game. And for joining Joe O'Donnell in the postgame show, Philip Gustafson will also get a gift certificate down to Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Wild 4, Ducks nothing. Postgame show continues after a break, including John Hines' postgame comments. You're listening to Wild Hockey, presented by XL Energy.
No, just when the first shift came, switched up a little bit, but we were getting chances in the first. We were holding on the pucks and getting more chances around the second. And once we broke the tie there, we just kept going.
Ryan Hartman on how things opened up there in that second period. Yeah, they did have chances in the first period, but John Gibson stopped all 9 shots he faced. But then you go to the second, a little bit of a tweak there by John Hines, and it's Ryan Hartman that opens up the second with his 18th of the season. He's now got 3 goals in the last 5 games, 5 points in the last 5 games. He gets the eventual game winner on this one, his 18th of the season. Wild up 1-0, 35 seconds into period number 2. About a minute and a half later, John Merrill sends one through a screen supplied by Marat Kustandinov. Makes it 2-0. Merrill with his 4th of the season, 2nd in the month of March. Kustandinov will get the 2nd assist and his 1st point in the National Hockey League. Wild are off and running. Go to the middle part of the 2nd. Wild on the power play. And guess who does it again? Kirill the throw.
He'll float an aerial feed to Zuccarello. Back to Kaprizov. Right side. Boldy, a one-timer. Blocked out in front. Kaprizov had a whack at it. Side of the net. They jab away. And they score! Kaprizov, a power play goal. It's a 5-game goal streak, and the Wild have a 3-0 lead in Anaheim.
Kaprizov up to 36 goals this season. Hartman and Boldy will get the helpers. That comes at the 11:50 mark of the second. Not only a 5-game goal streak for Kaprizov, 8-game point streak as well. 10 goals, 14 points over that stretch. A goal on this night gives them the 3-0 advantage. They'd add to it in the third when Jake Lucchini scored his 2nd of the season. Beckman set up that one-timer. Wild blanked the Ducks 4-0. Good night all the way around, except for the injury report. Jonas Brodin hobbled off the ice 6 minutes into the third period. Terrible news for a team that's dealt with so many awful injuries all season long, including their captain, who's played just 16 games this season. Jonas Brodin leaves and really struggles to get down the tunnel, did not return, dealing with a lower body injury. See if we can get an update from John Hines here momentarily. But other than that, on the scoreboard, it worked well for them at Honda Center. They blanked the Ducks 4-0. Plus, on the scoreboard, the Golden Knights and the Blues both lose in regulation. So the Wild leapfrogged the Blues, now sit in 9th place in the Western Conference, 3 points back of the final playoff spot in the Western Conference. John Hines, after one more quick break, this is Wild Hockey presented by XL Energy.
Here he steals and starts ahead with a 2-on-1 with Jake Lucchini. Left circle, Beckman, back door. Lucchini scores! Lucchini hammers home the one-timer, and the Wild have taken a 4-0 lead.
Lucchini's 2nd of the season, set up by Beckman, puts it on a tee. Lucchini drills a 76-mile-per-hour one-timer, comes from the right circle, finishes off the scoring. Wild beat the Ducks 4-0. 6-0-2 in their last 8, 13-4-3 in their last 20. That's 29 out of a possible 40 points since the All-Star break. Also 2-0-2 in their last 4 on the road. Wild get the victory, their 34th of the season. To talk about that and hopefully some kind of an update on the status of Wild defenseman Jonas Brodin, to the Honda Center one more time, here's John Hines.
John, first of all, do you have any update on Brodin and what did you make of the sequence?
I don't have an update on him. It looked like a little bit just kind of an unfortunate scrum battle and things like that, but I don't have an update yet.
Difficult to see him struggle the way he did to get off the ice and banging their sticks.
Yeah, certainly is. Obviously, when you see a guy go down and then he got up, and the good thing is at least he was able to get up and come back, but hopefully it's nothing too serious.
Change in the team after the first period, you changed some lines and it looked like the spark that the team needed just to get some execution and get pucks and bodies to the net more.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a bad first period by any means, but we really didn't have I just didn't think we had a ton going on, and then a couple changes, and then, then we got off to a quick start in the second, and I think we were able to continue to build the game the right way from there.
How do you communicate a change like that? Is that something you write on the whiteboard at intermission, or you just say it, starting the second? Or
more on the bench, you just tell guys just different, you're going to be in, this is what your line is going to be, you're going to go here, you're going to go there, and then they know. Just so when you call the line out, everyone knows who's going for who and what the new combinations would be.
Kind of fitting that the way Murat has debuted, that his first point would be off a face-off one.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good point. I didn't even think of that. Yeah, he's been good on face-offs. And nice to see it. I thought he had a pretty good game tonight. You can see him getting a little bit more comfortable and impacting the game in multiple ways, so it's nice to see.
Mm-hmm. About Gus's response today, it seemed to have held up that game in Colorado with a similar kind of effort today.
Yeah, I thought Gus was really good today. The thing I liked the most about it was he made some key saves at key times, but I thought he fought through traffic. Even at the end when they had some little pushes there, he was competitive in the blue paint when there were second chances or screens, or I thought he was firm in the net. He was firm on the puck. He competed hard. So it was good. That's the type of goaltending we need from both guys. But it was good to see Gus, the way that he worked in between the starts and then to come back and bring that same effort tonight was important.
What's an attitude on the team? You guys need a lot of points. You're playing back-to-back against the Kings tomorrow. They're pretty defensive. And you have a great offense, but against the Kings it might be pretty difficult.
Yeah, I think you got to take every game for what it is and understand the other. Each team has strengths and weaknesses, and for us, we're in a playoff race battle, and they are too. So I'm assuming that I know our mindset is going to be we got to go in and put this one to bed and make sure that we're giving our best effort tomorrow and understand what their strengths and weaknesses are. But I think ultimately it comes down to, I think, your own team's mindset and execution and being ready to play the game.
Chisholm in favor, flipping them on the power play?
Yeah.
They're kind of just tweak or?
Just a little tweak. We have talked about even sometimes even with Faves, like there's times he come off a kill or, mm-hmm. He might have been just on the ice for that, and we feel like both guys are good power play players. We've rotated them a little bit in practice as of late, so it's kind of something we had planned. Mm-hmm. And then tonight, I think the opportunity presented itself on a couple of those, and I thought both players did a good job.
Even the line he didn't change scored, so you kind of had like the Midas touch.
Yeah.
The line he kept intact produced,
and
too.
And they did a good job,
for Beckman, too, to jump in.
Yeah, but I thought that line brought what you need them to bring. I thought that they were defensively responsible. They brought energy. They forechecked well. They were able to be, a plus line, score mm-hmm. a big goal, too, even at that point in the game. It's 3-0, and mm-hmm. You never know where the games can go, but that was a good spark for the team as well.
Among your most valuable players has to be, Brodin there. You already lost Eck. Like, it's kind of like a gun punch, too, when you lose a guy like that. You guys are playing so well on such a hot streak to, we don't know how long it is, but just to lose a guy like that.
Yeah, obviously when you lose players and, we've, had a nice 8-game stretch here where we've won and got points in every game and continue to push our way through. But similar to what we've done all year long, we've been in this situation quite a bit, unfortunately, just in the sense that we've had a lot of injuries at key times and to certain players. But, at the end of the day, the fact of the matter is it's not who's in your lineup. It's not who's out of your lineup, it's who's in your lineup, and we need to make sure that, whoever's in tomorrow night, we're ready to put the best game on the ice that gives us a chance to win.
With the changes that you made, would you go with those same combinations tomorrow night, or just want to reassess?
Yeah, possibly. I don't know yet. But there's a possibility. I usually kind of review different things, and then we'll probably make more decision tomorrow morning on exactly what the pairings will be.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, John.
All right, have a good night.
That is the head coach of the Minnesota Wild, John Hines, addressing the media there from the Honda Center, where the Wild got a 4-0 victory, 34th win of the season. Those 76 points leapfrogging past the St. Louis Blues, and now they are 3 points back of Vegas,
for the eighth and final playoff spot in the Western Conference. Well, as they mentioned, that's what's next for the Wild, a drive 26 miles north on I-5 to Los Angeles to face off against the L.A. Kings. L.A. and Vegas fighting for the third seed in the Pacific. Still, the Kings have been a 500 hockey team since the end of February. Wild trail one rip in the best of three series. It's not a best of three series. They'll face them three times total this season. They've already faced them once. They got beaten down in game four of the season, 7-3 in St. Paul. Wild will face the Kings twice now in the final month, including tomorrow night in L.A. It's another late puck drop. Blame TNT. 8:45 pregame on your radio. Puck drops at 9:25 in the Central Time Zone on most of these same stations. Special thanks to Colin Landsteiner, Dylan Riebel, and Aaron Sickman. Driven for Joe O'Donnell and Tom Reed, I'm Kevin Faulness. Enjoy your night. What do you say? Let's do it again tomorrow. You in? I am. And so are you on the Minnesota Wild Radio Network.
You've been listening to Minnesota Wild Hockey.
Kaprizov scores! Are you kidding me?
Join us next time, right here, for more Wild Hockey action. Is an exclusive presentation of the Minnesota Wild, the National Hockey League, and the Minnesota Wild Radio Network.